few years back, I asked our leaders a question. I said, who do you want us to become? What's our dream for Holy Name, our vision for Holy Name? And we did a lot of reading and a lot of praying and a lot of discussing and came up with the phrase, we want to be a community of 21st century disciples. A community. There are all kinds of communities. There's the law enforcement community, the legal community, the medical community, the educational community, just to name a few. What kind of community are we? A community of disciples living in this 21st century. Somebody asked me, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? How do we know that we're moving in that direction? Throughout the fall, we've tried to answer it, not completely, but in segments. For 3 weeks, we talked about how a disciple is one who recognizes everything as a gift from the Lord. And we receive it, we cultivate it, and we hand it on. Before that, we focused on the fact that a disciple is one who loves God above all things. Deuteronomy 6. And then expresses that love in love of one another. Leviticus 19. This week's readings focus on prayer. So I want to focus on prayer this week and next week. For a disciple also is one who prays. And as the scripture reveals other ways, we'll speak of them too. A disciple prays. What is prayer? Well, I bet you came with a prayer this morning. I did too. I brought that prayer into church yesterday for the 11 who died at Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, for a community of the chosen people of God who are grieving because of loss of loved ones, parishioners, safety, security in the house of God, and so much more. Yeah, prayer is that kind of petition that we offer to the Lord. But prayer is more than that. And a lot of us, when we hear prayer, think of those traditional prayers, the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, Rosary, those prayers we offer for people, prayers we offer for ourselves. But prayer is more than that. In fact, the catechism doesn't define prayer in terms of what we say. But the catechism defines prayer as a vital and personal relationship with the living God. A disciple has a vital, personal relationship with the living God. That personal relationship is new language for us as Catholics. Our non-Catholic brothers and sisters speak of a personal relationship quite regularly. We're learning from them. St. Therese of Lisieux, when she thought of prayer, she said, prayer is a surge of the heart. Simply put, she said, it's looking up into heaven. That's what prayer is for her. One of the St. John said, it's raising one's mind and heart to God. Another community calls it making conscious contact with the Lord. That's my simple definition. Making conscious contact with the Lord, flowing out of that personal and vital relationship that the catechism talks about. That's what a disciple is and what a disciple does when they pray. In that vital and personal relationship, yes, we offer petitionary prayers to the Lord. Sometimes we cross the line, me included. I'll ask the Lord for things and I'll help him out. I'll tell him how I want it and when I want it. And I don't know about you when you do that, but from heaven, he kind of looks at me and says, okay, my way or your way? It's going to be my way. But prayer is more than that. Prayer also naturally leads us to thanks. We'll enter into the season of Thanksgiving. Eucharist is thanks. Offering thanks for all we are and all we have is prayer. Asking and thanking also lead us to begging for mercy. For at his very heart, God is a merciful Lord, looking beyond our actions to who we are and forgiving our actions, letting us learn from the consequences of them. And that kind of prayer naturally leads to adoration, the highest form of prayer, just simply being with the Lord, laying it all before him, and then just sitting in his personal, passionate presence. Prayer, many do that day and night in the adoration chapel. It's the most quiet room in the house, but it's the most used room in the house too, for many are there, and there's room for you too. Prayer, conscious contact with God. That conscious contact suggests a relationship, a dynamic relationship. And after going that far in my preparation this week, I thought, okay, Bartimaeus, what do you have to teach us about prayer? For these gospel today introduces you to us or brings you back into our awareness, our consciousness. Can you teach us something about prayer? And obviously the answer is yes. What can we learn from Bartimaeus? Four things. One, he recognizes his own blindness. Expanding on that, his own brokenness. Two, out of that, he calls out to the Lord, Son of David. Code words in Mark's gospel for Messiah. Son of David, have pity on me. And from there, he knows that Jesus answers. There's the good news. Our Lord answers that prayer. And in response, Bartimaeus follows him. He's told to go home, but he doesn't. He follows him. Our own brokenness, our own blindness. For Bartimaeus, it's a physical impediment. We all have impediments of one kind or another, disabilities of one kind or another. That's our brokenness. You bring yours, I bring mine. You carry yours, I carry mine. We carry ours together. That's what a community of disciples do. We carry it together. But it's also the gift that leads us to the Lord. For without it, and without our awareness of our brokenness, we walk away from the Lord because we think we can do it on our own. We think our successes, our family, our friends, our health, all the good things in life are our doing. And we start to say, Lord, I don't need you. We start backing away from prayer. From community prayer, that Mass is. So being aware of our powerlessness is so important. Being aware of our spiritual blindness, for example, is important. For our own brokenness weakens our will. It dulls our intellect. Sin has that effect on us. And when sin moves from actions to patterns to part of our personality, that blindness intensifies. Scripture lays out seven deadly sins that when they become part of our personality, they are deadly because they truly do blind us in the most radical way that they can. Anger does. Jealousy does. Greed does. Pride does. It's the deadliest of the deadly. Lustfulness, a misuse of that gift of sexuality, laziness, physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and all its variations. When those become part of who we are blind. I wonder in the polarization that we're living in, the divisiveness that seems to be part of our life right now, if that is an opening up of blindness to us, many of us are beginning to say, what do we do about all this? Where do we go? What's the solution? Lord, I can't see it. I can't see it. Blindness. Bartimaeus calls out to the Lord. He calls out to him, Son of David, have pity on me. There's the answer, friends. There's the answer to call out to the living God. Lord, have pity on us. We got a crisis of leadership in our church and in our country and in our world. Have pity on us. I don't know where to go, but the most important decisions of my life, of my heart, what to do with my burdens. Lord, have pity on us. Come and show your mercy and compassion. He does. That's the good news again. For Jesus hears Bartimaeus, even though his critics say, be quiet. Even though his adversaries say, you are on the outskirts. You're poor and you live on the margins. Stay there. Bartimaeus will have nothing of it, and neither will Jesus. In our brokenness, he hears us and he reaches out. He reaches out to invite us into that relationship, that vital and personal relationship. What do you want me to do? He asks Bartimaeus. As he asks you and me, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, I want to see. I want to see. And then Jesus says, do you want me to do it for you? Or are you willing to work with me? Are you willing to be engaged in the relationship? You're powerless. You've called out to me. Are you willing to decide to receive my grace and to follow me? That was key, friends. For if Bartimaeus would have said no, if he would have said, just take care of me and I'll wait here until you do it, but I'd like it right now, the healing might have been delayed. But Bartimaeus stands up, sheds his coat, his security, and says, yes, Lord, I will. I will. He invites us to a relationship, not a passive one, but an active one. Liturgy is the work of the church. Our prayer here is always meant to be an active one. Your prayer adds to my prayer, to our prayer. Our prayer carries those whose hearts are so heavy they can't lift their voice in song or in prayer. Ah, that's so important. Prayer in blindness. Terry Anderson was a reporter, was captured in the Mideast and held by terrorists. Terry was confined to a room, blindfolded, shackled to a bed for all the years of his captivity. He didn't know where he was and he didn't know who his captors were. That was part of the plan of his captors. In the silence and in the solitude, a man who had been gifted with faith but never developed it began to pray. Began to pray. And that blindness was lifted. Here's what he wrote. He said, As a child, I was like every child. We believe what we are told. Children believe what they're told. When a child grows, he or she begins to seek beyond the world of their parents. And they begin to see things they had never seen before. They hear voices, some voices that say there is no God. Those are voices of cynics. And then there are voices of the clerics and the faithful who say God is a mystery. But look to the saints, to the disciples, to live with that mystery. He said this. He said, in my own need and in my calling out to God, I felt a light, warm, loving touch that eased my soul. It banished my doubt and gave me the strength to go on. And now I see. Jesus tells Bartimaeus to go home. Bartimaeus doesn't. Bartimaeus begins to follow him. To follow him. For the recovery of physical sight was just the first sight. That spiritual insight, intellectual insight, emotional insight, relational insight is what he still hungered for. And that required time with the Lord, quiet time with the Lord. The kind of time where he'd go to the Lord asking questions and waiting for the answer. And then no doubt said, now I see. Now I see. Oh, this is how I follow you in this decision, in this relationship, in this challenge, in this part of my brokenness. Lord, tell me more. I'll be back tomorrow. Tell me more. And that blindness continued to be lifted. And it does for us, friends. It does for us. Look for that best time of your day and give it to the Lord. We'll talk more about how and where, because I want to invite you, and Father Evans want to invite you to join others who come here, who find Eucharist and adoration in this chapel as a place of silence and refuge to enter into that personal and vital relationship, that conscious contact, where they hear the voice of God and just simply adore him for who he is. So stay tuned. We'll talk more next week.